Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado, on this 13th day of April, 2010. April is Nostalgia Month here at Movie Addict Headquarters, so it's only fitting our second show of the month should be devoted to re-examining the life and movies of legendary actress Ingrid Bergman. We'll be playing a taped portion of an earlier conversation in which Classic Movie Guide founder and editor Diana Sanger joined me to share our reactions concerning Charlotte Chandler's wonderful Ingrid Bergman biography. But beware, dear listeners, you're about to hear how wound up and nostalgic I can get when talking about Ingrid Bergman. Then following the tape, we should have time for a live discussion with the entire Movie Addict Headquarters gang. Plus, I'll reveal the results of a survey concerning which Ingrid Bergman films and performances are the most popular. Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw are ready to help with the show, so let's get started. Nikki, is everything set in our chat room?
It is ready to go.
Great. Thanks so much, Nikki. We really appreciate you and the people who've signed up for the chat, as well as all our other listeners. We hope everyone enjoys the show. Now, of course, we also appreciate Jazz being here to co-host. Jazz, we missed you last week. Welcome back.
Thank you. I've been on the road a lot, but, I had to tell everybody in Congress that Tuesday was off limits this week, and I was just going to have to be home for the Movie Addict Headquarters show.
I'm so glad you did, and you've been on the road so much, I understand that you have a T-shirt. I heard your midstream radio show. That's the way I learn about my politics, and you have a new T-shirt that you're wearing. Could you tell our listeners what it says on that T-shirt?
Oh, no, you got that one backwards. Actually, it's my wife who's wearing the T-shirt.
Your wife is wearing the T-shirt, okay.
Yeah, she has an old T-shirt from back before we even met and when we were first dating that she used to wear, and she put it away, and I hadn't seen it in years and years. And just recently, because I've been on the road so much, she got it back out and started wearing it again, and it says, "Missing, boyfriend and dog, reward offered for dog."
I love that. Well, despite that T-shirt, we're happy that you're here. And Jazz, it's no secret that Ingrid Bergman is one of your favorite actresses. And in fact, you know, we're going to hear your voice in the tape we're about to play, because I think your call was almost a co-host audition on that show. If I remember correctly, not long after that, you joined Nikki and me on the show. Well, the tape is about, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So the tape is about 20 minutes long, and here it is. Now, Diana, I know you're familiar with the with this particular biography. Is it one you think Movie Addict Headquarters listeners would enjoy?
Absolutely. I'm telling you, this Charlotte Chandler, she's written books about so many movie stars, and she just gets more and more details than you can ever imagine, and she finds all these wonderful people to interview, and you just imagine her on her broom just flying around the world and stopping in everywhere, because it's just thrilling, the things that you read about.
I agree with you. I was just, spellbound. I don't mean that as a pun, because I really was spellbound with this book. It reads like a who's who of Hollywood in the golden era, doesn't it? All the people that she talked with, and she seems to know how to get everybody to open up. So it's not just your usual run of the mill biography.
She seems to know them like personally, and I've never heard of the woman, so it was quite a surprise. This was one of the first books of her I read, but I was very pleased. It's very entertaining.
It certainly is, and now I'm the same as you are. I hadn't read any of her other books, but I want to look for them now. She's written one about Groucho Marx, one about Billy Wilder, I think Federico Fellini, and Betty Davis. That's the next one I want to read, is her biography of Betty Davis. Well, getting back to Ingrid Bergman, Diana, I have to admit, being a fan of hers, from the very first time I saw her on screen, but, you know, not until reading this biography did I have any idea what a truly fascinating life she led. I think it's just a real treat for movie fans. And I don't know about you, but to me, Ingrid Bergman emerges from the pages as somebody almost as complex as she was talented. Now, I'm going to give away my age. I usually do when we talk about these old movies, but I became a fan of Ingrid Bergman's during her Hollywood heyday because at that time I was in my teens. Ingrid Bergman comes on the scene just at a time when I could not do without my movie magazines. And, of course, her beautiful face would be on the cover. She was one of the most beautiful movie stars, I think, ever to come to Hollywood. And, of course, she came from Sweden. I just fell in love with her, wanted to see all of her movies. But I could not understand why she left Hollywood back in 1949 to make movies in Italy with the famous filmmaker Roberto Rossellini. That was really hard for fans like me to take because after coming to America from Sweden, well, she was already a big star there. And then here in the U.S., she became even more popular. I think she was the top box office star for three consecutive years, or at least the top female star. And she was a mother, seemed very happy as a mother. She seemed happily married to that handsome Swedish doctor. So when news hit the movie magazines about Bergman's romance with Rossellini after she went to Italy with him, and then her pregnancy by him, oh, I was just devastated. I was so shocked and disappointed.
So you remember that?
Oh, I mean, like it was yesterday.
Wow.
It was so very, very shocking. And I just hated the fact that she was exiled from America. And I couldn't believe it when she was denounced on the floor of the U.S. Senate by one of the senators in Colorado where I live. So that was big, big news. So when she came back, she couldn't come back to the United States for several years. But when she finally did come back to America, I couldn't help cheering her return. So a lot of this is covered by Chandler, I think, pretty sensitively, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do.
But it still was
She doesn't pull the punches. I mean, you know, she says what is, but, you know, she handles it very well, and just all the quotes and people she interviews, you know, gives that authoritative background that, you know, what you're reading is what happened.
And wasn't it interesting that the movies that she made with Rossellini were so different in comparison to the movies that she had made in Hollywood. And, of course, she really wasn't the type of actress that Rossellini usually cast in his films. So they really weren't big successes, were they?
No.
Stromboli.
It was kind of like he wanted what he didn't have, and he thought she might be it, but she was too much for his movies. If people don't know, he never had scripts. He never worked with – sometimes he didn't even know what his movie was going to be back. He would just find people on the street and stage them and tell them to start talking. There was no dialogue, and then he would form a story from that, and she was not used to working that way.
Definitely not. She was working with people like Alfred Hitchcock, who practically had every – single shot in his head before he even started a movie. And she was so into the craft of acting
too, that she felt kind of like a fish out of water with the movies that Rossellini was directing her in. Then, to add salt in the wounds, he didn't want her to make any movies with any other director.
Right, right.
So she was really kind of boxed in during the time that she was in Italy. So I was.
She was handcuffed.
She was. That's right.
And the fact that his movies weren't making any money reduced them to practically poverty, and you know he wouldn't let that out because he had this class image he had to uphold. But meanwhile, she was dying on the vine. You know, they were hungry. The people were coming to get their furniture. The kids were, you know, devastated, and it was a traumatic thing, I'm sure, for her.
I think she, and of course, she was such a, well, she was just bowled over by Rossellini's filmmaking genius. That's how she got attracted to him at first, and then he was just totally impressed with her acting ability, too, but they were just two opposite, I think. So when she came back to America, I think she came back to an environment in terms of acting that suited her much, much better. But you know what, Diana, I did like reading about Ingrid Bergman's private life, but what I like most about this book is all the interesting behind-the-scenes information about her various movies. For example, the description of Bergman's close friendship with Alfred Hitchcock and how they worked so well together, it's just absolutely priceless. I loved reading about how Hitchcock was able to get around the decency code while filming that long kissing scene between Ingrid and Cary Grant in Notorious.
Right.
I often wondered about that. And then Bergman's negative reaction for being cast in Casablanca was really a surprise to me. she thought it was going to be a very unimportant movie.
Yeah. She didn't want to do it, and actually neither did Humphrey Bogart.
No, and Paul Henry didn't want to play Victor Laszlo in the movie either. So Ingrid was so upset because there wasn't an ending for that movie. They hadn't figured out whether she was going to go with Victor or whether she was going to go with Rick.
Right.
So she was a little upset about that. And then, most importantly, I think, she thought that it was going to hurt her chances to be in For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Right, that's what she really wanted to do.
She wanted to be in that with Gary Cooper, and I think it's really ironic that most movie fans consider Casablanca their favorite Ingrid Bergman movie, and For Whom the Bell Tolls is hardly ever mentioned.
Exactly. And isn't it amazing that we look at that as a classic romance, and yet because neither one of them wanted to be in the movie, in fact, they went to lunch, and she was hoping he would convince her to do the movie. He didn't want to do it either. And she says they had no charisma in the movie at all. They kissed one time, and she never got to know him. And yet, through movie magic, it's one of our classic romances of all time. That's what I love about movies.
Oh, exactly. Well put. That's really exactly the truth. But, you know, I did love that movie. I did love Casablanca. But I think Bergman gave her best performance as a wife being driven insane by her husband, played by Charles Boyer in Gaslight.
Mm-hmm,
have you seen that?
I have not seen that one.
That one, put on your Netflix queue or something, because she did win an Oscar for that. But another one of her films that hardly anyone even thinks about nowadays, called Under Capricorn, it's another Alfred Hitchcock movie that she made, holds special significance for me. So I'm going to tell a little personal story about that. That movie came out in 1949, and that's the year I moved to New York City to attend college, and it was very, very, very bad timing because I had fallen in love with a hometown boy, and I didn't want to be away from him. Now, my grandmother escorted me to New York City by train. She wanted to see me settled in at Barnard with her own eyes, and so soon after we got to New York, I persuaded her to take us to Radio City Music Hall. Of course, the Rockettes, oh, they just held me spellbound, but I was even more enthralled by Ingrid Bergman's performance in Under Capricorn, which was the movie showing there that night. And Bergman's portrayal, she played this Irish noblewoman suffering from a mental disability and alcoholism, and it was so real it made me cry.
Wow.
Or maybe I was crying because the boy that I loved wasn't with me. So ultimately, Ingrid Bergman's performance in that film helped me realize that my place was, guess where, really back in Pueblo, Colorado. So I didn't stay too long in New York City, and the boy I missed so much became my husband. Don't you just love happy endings?
Absolutely.
Well, now you know my two favorite Bergman films. Do you have a favorite Bergman film?
Well, I love Casablanca like everybody else, you know, but I also have different moments in different films. I love that scene in For Whom the Bell Tolls where, you know, she's there when they're under the sunlight with, you know, Robert, and they just have that one moment of about, it just ellipses time, you know, and that scene really made that Hemingway adaptation come true for me. I liked Notorious because in that movie she has a parallel of normalcy that she, I think, paralleled her life. You know, she was kind of demure and just kind of going through the steps in that film because she was out of it for so long, you know, mentally wise. That was part of the plot.
Right.
But, you know, in her life, she kind of went through that, too. Even though her life was unconventional and at times was even called scandalous, she handled every new marriage, every new part of her life as normal and just accepted it and did the best she could and, you know, went for the things she loved and tried to fix the things she didn't.
So it was art, kind of art imitating life in that case. I hadn't thought of it in that way, but that's a very good choice. I wonder, let's look and see if we have any callers who want to share their reactions about Ingrid Bergman. Yes, I think I see Jazz Shaw here. Let me see if we can get him on the line. Hello, is this Jazz?
Well, yes, it is. Hi, Betty Jo. I've really been enjoying the show.
Oh, well, thank you. But isn't Ingrid Bergman a great subject?
Oh, fantastic. Although I will say I'm disappointed. You two, I only have three Bergman films in my own personal collection.
Really?
And two of them you've already mentioned. Of course, I have Casablanca and I have For Whom the Bell Tolls. But you neglected to mention the other one, and I've never found it on DVD yet, but I still have it on videotape, when she played Joan of Arc.
Oh, yes. How could we, Diana, how did we forget Joan of Arc? And she loved that role, too.
She did.
She really did enjoy playing Joan of Arc.
I think that one's a classic. A couple things about Ingrid Bergman that you touched on. First of all, I do have to say she was one, not to sound like too much of a male chauvinist or anything, but she was one of the classic beauties. She was one of those women back in an age before plastic surgery and now the, you know, the high-tech makeup that we have now that can take probably even me and make me look passable, you know. And she was just one of those women who just looked like she would roll out of bed in the morning without a bit of makeup and she would still just be absolutely gorgeous, you know.
And that's what everyone said in the book, right, Diana?
Exactly.
She had that.
She mesmerized everything.
She didn't have any pores, they said.
But I have been learning so much from this show that I didn't. When you mentioned scandalous, my one big memory as a child was my mother talking about her, and my mother never forgave Ingrid Bergman, and when that came up in conversation, and the big thing was that she was a tainted woman. She had, you know, left her husband for this famous foreign director, or, you know, at least that was how the story was portrayed, you know, and she had this scandalous affair, you know, and abandoned her marital vows and things. So my mother was quite upset with her over that.
And her daughter, she left her daughter with her husband too, so there was that abandoning on top of her husband.
But I had never heard about not being able to come back to America before this show. Was she actually banished like Timothy Leary was, or was it sort of a self-imposed thing?
You know, it might be both. I think that there was a little of both, because there was a lot of trouble with the divorce from Peter Lindstrom, right, Diana?
Right.
And part of that was that she couldn't, you know, she couldn't see the daughter. And that was another interesting thing about Ingrid Bergman, how much she was kind of under the thumb of her many husbands, which I guess that happens to a lot of women, but more so back in those days.
But, yeah, we live in times now where people change marriages like they change their socks and things, and people wouldn't even bat an eye today. But back then, it was, you know, it was quite the scandal.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Very anti-family kind of thing. So I think she lost some of her fans that way.
Well,
but
she
was just, I mean, she was in the class with, like, Veronica Lake and Lauren Bacall and, you know, just a handful of women who got picked up in Hollywood that, you know, whenever you saw them, they were just stunning. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
But I guess I remember her most for Casablanca, like most people, you know, playing Ilsa. That was just such a great role, and she was still very young, and she just pulled it off so magnificently.
Yes, I agree. That was one of her best roles. Would you be willing to stay on for a little bit, Jazz? I do see that we have another caller. I wanted to make sure that we got everyone who wanted to share their reactions.
Oh, please, yeah. I'll just hang out here in the background. Sure, I'm
okay,
just enjoying
thanks.
It.
Thanks, Jazz. Area code 719, you're online with Movie Addict Headquarters with Diana Sanger, Betty Jo Tucker, and Jazz Shaw. Hello there.
Hi.
Who's calling?
Hi. This is Claire.
Oh, hi, Claire. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing real well.
Good. What?
I'm really enjoying your show. It's very informative. I'm finding it very, very much fun to listen to.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate that, and we thank you very much for calling. Do you have a favorite Ingrid Bergman memory or movie to share with us?
Well, you know, I think I liked all of her movies.
Ah.
The ones I remember most probably are Joan of Arc and, of course, Casablanca and Gaslight. And I also liked her in For Whom the Bell Tolls. That's one that kind of stands out in my mind.
If you had to pick one as your favorite, which would it be?
Oh, let's see. Probably Gaslight.
Probably Gaslight.
Yeah.
Well, I like the way you think, Claire. I also like the way Claire thinks because she picked my favorite Ingrid Bergman movie. Hey, Nikki, thanks for doing such a great job editing that conversation. And Jazz, now I know why Nikki and I wanted you to stay on and be our co-host. And is there anything you'd like to add about Bergman that wasn't covered in our conversation with Diana?
We were just discussing in the chat that I was reflecting, listening back to when I used to call in before you asked me to co-host, and it's like, did I always sound like that much of an idiot? Oh, my God.
No idiot at all. We always loved your comments, especially about Casablanca and Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. But, you know, we had some interesting responses to the survey I conducted via email and Facebook to find out which Bergman films are the most popular. And I wanted to thank everyone who sent me their input. And Jazz, you'll be happy to know that Casablanca leads the pack. Applause, applause.
Oh, yes.
40% of the votes were cast for that great movie. 20% went to Notorious. 15% to Gaslight. 10% to Murder on the Orient Express. And 5% each to For Whom the Bell Tolls, Spellbound, Autumn Sonata, which I have to admit I haven't seen, and a woman named Golda. I believe that was the television biopic. I think that was the last bit of acting that she did.
You know,
so
I don't think I've ever seen Autumn Sonata either.
So that's one we should put on our Netflix that maybe we
yeah,
could
I'll have to go look that up.
That we could enjoy. So I guess it's official. Movie Addict Headquarters has selected Casablanca as Ingrid Bergman's most popular film. And Jazz, I was so impressed by some of the explanations given for why people liked that particular movie. And I just can't resist reading one of them. This is from film critic Phil Hall, who's been on our show, I think, twice. And here's what he wrote. The entire film is based on Bergman's character. She is the woman who drives Humphrey Bogart and Paul Henreid's characters to go above and beyond what the average man would do under extraordinary circumstances. In order to inspire such actions, You would need a performer who goes far beyond physical beauty into emotional beauty, and that's where Bergman's performance shines. And he goes on to say that Ingrid Bergman is one of the finest actresses ever in film acting history. So he was pretty passionate. And most of the people who chose Casablanca were very, very passionate about why they chose that that movie. I think we should check with Nikki now to see what's happening in our chat room. Nikki, which Bergman movies are receiving the most attention from our chatters?
Well, it seems like Gaslight and Casablanca are, but then Jazz is being mean to me.
Oh, what's he been doing?
He's going to smack me because I haven't seen Casablanca.
Oh, no, I'm going to jump
in. I know, right?
Can anybody work on a show called Movie Addict Headquarters and not have seen the greatest movie of all time?
So, that's what you say all the time. I know, I know.
Well, you would. Yeah, I think that you would enjoy it, and it's totally romantic, but it's more than that. The story, it's a simple story, but it's done, everything is done perfectly in that film. And
it's funny,
every
we just watched it again the other night, Betty Jo. My wife and I occasionally
did.
Go on these jags if we get a little free time in the evening before bed, and she's in the chat right now, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
and,
good. Hi,
and
hi,
she suggested that we went through, that we go through, and she just started grabbing some DVDs several evenings in a row, and we watched pretty much my whole Bogey collection one evening, and we just watched Casablanca last week again. Yes.
Oh, I can watch it every time that it comes on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And
any Bogey movie that comes on, pretty much, I will stop and I'll watch. Even the really bad ones. And he did have a few bad ones.
he did, but we won't mention those. We'll just think positive about Humphrey Bogart. Well, you know, I was surprised that in the responses that came in from the survey, there were some movies that weren't mentioned at all, and one of them is Anastasia, which Bergman won an Oscar for, and I thought that she was just great in that movie. And another one called Saratoga Trunk, with that was with Gary Cooper. I thought she was
now
very
that
good.
That one I did not see. The biggest surprise for me, if I can say though, Betty Jo, out of the results from the survey, I'll confess, I was a little surprised that Notorious came in at number two. Now, don't get me wrong. Great film, obviously a classic, but I really was surprised that Notorious would receive more votes than, for example, Murder on the Orient Express or Gaslight. If you'd have asked me to guess what people would say, I would have thought those two would have probably beat Notorious. And you know, it's good that people remember all the old films, and I'm glad they voted for Notorious, but yeah, it was a little surprising.
Well, I was, of course, disappointed that Gaslight didn't come out as number one. And but there were some people who are very, very passionate about Notorious, and one of the responses that we got came from John P. McCarthy, who's also been a guest on our show several times, and here's what he wrote about that. He said, "The film is a brilliant combination of suspense and romance. With an understated sexuality, Bergman projects courage, shame, and yearning. She's fantastic, and it's hard to imagine another actress in the role. Her softness is in perfect contrast to Madame Constantine's chilling turn." Now, that must have been Claude Rains' mother. Yeah, chilling turn as the mother of the Claude Rains character. Meanwhile, Cary Grant's diffident suaveness contrasts with Rains' courtly mendacity. You can tell that John's a film critic. Notorious is often on Turner Classic Movies, so your listeners should definitely check it out if they don't know. He calls it a taut treat. So that's a very interesting description of Notorious and why John P. McCarthy voted for that over Casablanca. But, you know, Ingrid Bergman made over, let's see, I was looking it up on the Internet Movie Database, and she has 55 movies and TV appearances to her credit. Many of those were the films that she made in Sweden before coming to Hollywood, and in Italy when she was with Rossellini. And she has 7 Oscar nominations, but I think she only won won two Oscars. I'm wondering if I'm correct on that. But she was nominated. She wasn't nominated for Casablanca. She won for Gaslight. She won. Oh, it's three that she won, and for a supporting for Murder on the Orient Express, and she won for Anastasia. But she was also nominated for Whom the Bell Tolls, and I think for Autumn Sonata, which we've decided that we do have to see, and a couple of others that I seem to have lost my notes on. But that's a pretty good record: seven nominations and three wins. So she was not just a beautiful actress, but she was also a very, very talented actress. And I think we mentioned also in part of the conversation that was edited out with Diana about that Ingrid Bergman had a connection with Howard Hughes, which I did not know before reading this biography. I did not know, you know, as much a fan as I was of her in the day. But Howard Hughes bought a studio for Ingrid Bergman, and I believe it was RKO. And when he told her that he bought this studio for her, she said, "Well, I don't know what I would do with a studio." And so she told him what she really wanted was the money instead of the studio. And she wanted the money to give Rossellini to make these movies. And so Howard Hughes was very, very upset. He expected to see movies where Ingrid Bergman was looking gorgeous, you know, and like the movies that she made for Alfred Hitchcock. But that wasn't the type of movie that Rossellini made. So that's a little bit of behind-the-scenes information about Ingrid Bergman and the movies that
Well, that's the kind of boyfriend to have. Most boyfriends take you to the movies. If you date Howard Hughes, he buys you a movie studio instead of a ticket.
Right. Well, you know, I am so happy that we've been able to talk about Ingrid Bergman again, because I never get tired of talking about her. So I want to thank everyone who tuned in today for this subject, as well as Diana Sanger, who, by the way, will be with us next week to talk about the Robert Osborne Classic Film Festival. And I want to thank Claire, who called in, and Jazz and Nikki for making it so much fun to reminisce about one of my favorite actresses again. And, of course, the contributions from the chatters. But on a different subject, there's some good news to report about the fundraising for Gary King's indie film musical. Now, Jazz, you remember that show a couple of weeks ago where Gary King told us about How Do You Write a Joe Sherman Song?
Oh, I do, and I even wrote about that online and other places, and I put it up on Twitter to try to send some people over there to help them out, and, you know, hopefully we were able to help them a bit.
Oh, I think that those are the kinds of things that do help, and I noticed today, I just checked early this morning, you know, he has to raise $30,000 by April 18th. April 18th, that's only five days away. Well, I checked his Kickstarter site and discovered that he's over 75% funded as of today, and that he has over 150 backers. He's so close. I just hope everyone who's listening will help him reach his goal, especially if you're a fan of film musicals. So I hope you will do this, Jazz. Put the link in the chat room, so that anyone who wants to know how to help Gary with this musical can check this link and then do something to help him. But it's www.joeshermansong.com, and I'm going to spell that Sherman for you. It's SCHERMANN song.com. So it's www.joeshermansong.com, and he's just doing so much work to get the word out, and the the pledges, even if you pledge $1, there's a return that you'll get, and all the different things that he's giving away, some of his other films. He's even doing special song requests on the site for people that donate a certain amount of money. And my husband and I did donate, and we requested, Jazz, you will be happy to hear this, we requested As Time Goes By. And I hope that Christina and Joe Sherman do get that song up so that we can all take a look at that. And now, the sad news. I'm very sorry to report that we've lost a dear friend of our show, Sonny Goodman, who passed away several days ago. Sonny hosted the Sunny Days show, which was a wonderful show, and is now being taken over by Danny, Miss Rooney Danny. And she was one of Blog Talk Radio's most popular hosts. And you remember, Nikki and Jazz, she always urged her listeners to check out our Movie Addict Headquarters show.
Yes, she did.
And she called into the show frequently and took part in our live chats. And
so much
we'll
fun
miss...
in the chat. Always had such a great attitude.
I know, and she just inspired us all who listened to her show and took part in her chats every weekday morning. She just encouraged us to be silly and to have fun, and she had the most diverse musical tastes. I cannot believe the different types of songs that she would play on her show. She's the first one who introduced me to the banana phone song. I know that's a silly song by a Canadian singer or I think a comic called Raffi. And now that song just keeps going over and over in my head, and I just absolutely love it. She had theme shows. She had a whole show about Mae West, of all people. It was just a wonderful show. And the Rocky Horror Picture Show was one of her favorites. She had a theme show about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
And she just, in fact, I hope that the archives will still be available so people can hear some of those great shows that she had. I'm glad to say that there will be a celebration of Sonny's life scheduled on the Wacko Bob Weekly Show tomorrow at noon Eastern Time. And that link would be www.blogtalkradio.com/WackoBobWeekly, and that's WACKO. So I hope all of her friends and fans will take part in the celebration of Sonny's life, which is scheduled for tomorrow. Is there anything else that you would like to say, Jazz, about Sonny or Nikki? Anything you would like to add? Because Nikki, she was a great fan of yours, and she just absolutely admired you so much.
I just wanted to say how fabulous she was. That, like, she was probably one of Blog Talk Radio's first maybe 100 hosts from the very beginning. So she knew a lot about the platform, and she was always so helpful. Like when I was teaching Blog Talk Radio 101, she would come in and she would answer the questions in chat, and she gave Audacity lessons for nothing. She just did it because she loved to help, and she's going to really be missed. I'm just really going to miss her a lot.
She was always a constant presence and very knowledgeable, but at the same time, willing to learn. And a lot of people, if they disagree or maybe they don't like the movie you're talking about or the actor, sometimes they could get kind of mean-spirited, you know. And it just seemed like she never had a bad thing to say about anybody.
No, and you know, Jazz, like even a couple times when you were co-hosting with me on Nikki Rocks the Politics, she would call in. And, of course, the rule on that show was that you can say anything you want. You just can't be rude. And she would always direct. If there was any rudeness, she could always direct it back to something positive and find a common ground, because she was a little different politically than Jazz or I, but she could always find that common ground and be the person who was the sane one.
So.
Exactly.
We have to resurrect that and do that again someday, Nikki. That would be fun.
Yes.
I have missed that show. I have missed that show so much. I'm just looking forward to the day when you get Nikki Rocks the Politics back on the air. And
yeah,
now's
maybe
the time.
Before you know it.
You'll keep us all posted, right?
Of course.
Great.
Hey, and I can get you a couple congressional candidates at the drop of a hat if you want some interviews.
All right then.
And we'll run a show about politics. We'll have to look at what movies we can find that are about politics. That will be no
political
problem.
Movie, yes.
No problem
How
at
fun.
All. So that would be a good way to get your show launched. Oh, the time has gone by so quickly, and I'm sure Sunny would want us to close on a positive note. So let's end the show with one of her favorite songs. Get ready, everyone. Here comes Footloose.
Cut.